today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone, all my friends and listeners out there. I'm delighted to have you with us. I'm Dr. James Dobson. Almost every day we deal with a different topic and often invite individual guests that we think will be a blessing to you. And our program today is no exception. It's going to feature one of my Christian friends and brothers, a man that I love. His name is Pastor Greg Laurie. He is a senior pastor of Harvest Christian Fellowship in Southern California. It's one of the largest congregations in the country. And he is also an evangelist at the Harvest Crusades, which is a large-scale outreach in the United States. And that's an understatement. And we'll explain that more a little later. He not only ministers here in the United States, but also Canada and New Zealand. And he's been doing this for nearly 30 years. Pastor Laurie has received two honorary doctorates from Biola University and Azusa Pacific University, and he has published over 70 books. Pastor Laurie hosts his own radio program called A New Beginning, which can be heard on nearly 500 stations across the country. And he serves on the board of directors of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and Samaritan's Purse. That's a pretty good resume, I would say. Pastor Laurie, it is so nice to have you with us. And we have a specific story that you want to tell today. But first, let me say thanks for being our guest.
Well, Dr. Dobson, thanks for having me on again. Always a joy to be with you.
You and I had the opportunity to go to Israel together.
Yes.
A little over a month ago, and that was one of the highlights of my life. Did you feel that way about it?
Absolutely. It was such a special trip. You know, I've been there many years leading tours, but this trip really stood out. For starters, we did meet the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. That was great. We met the mayor of Jerusalem. We heard from a lot of folks from the Israeli government telling us about what is going on in that nation, what's really happening. And we also were with the ambassador, Ambassador Friedman, the American ambassador. And of course, now we've moved our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, which I thought was a great idea. And I think one of the highlights for me personally was that helicopter ride they took us on. Wow, you realize how small Israel is when you see it in the air. But that was a highlight for me. What was the highlight for you?
Well, I think that was there was not just one helicopter, but eight.
Yes,
they gave us eight.
It was so fun.
I think there were 28 or 29 religious leaders and their spouses or members of the team that went on that trip. So they provided eight helicopters, and we got an opportunity to fly over all of Jerusalem and then northern Israel. Well, what a treat that was.
Absolutely. Really something. I don't think I'll ever forget that.
Well, we have called today because there is another subject that we want you to talk about. And you and I have been discussing this for almost a year, and it's time we got around to it. But you have prepared a film on Steve McQueen's life called Steve McQueen, American Icon.
Yes.
And you've also written a book on that subject.
Yes.
And we want to talk about that today. What was there about Steve McQueen that drew you to him?
Basically, what drew me to him was I always liked Steve McQueen films. He was always one of my favorite actors. It probably all started when I went and bought a replica of the car he drove in the film Bullet. Mm. It's a 1967 Mustang in Highland Green with aftermarket wheels, a blacked out grill, just an ultra cool film. But you know, I'd always heard this story about Steve, that he had become a Christian toward the end of his life, but I didn't know if that was true or not. So one day, I don't know what got me thinking about it, but I just typed in the search engine of Google, Steve McQueen, conversion to Christianity. And a few names started bubbling up. And one of those names was a man named Leonard DeWitt, who was the pastor of the church that Steve attended. So I wondered, well, is Leonard DeWitt still alive? So I was able to track him down, and I had a long conversation with him, and he filled in a lot of details for me. Not only had Steve actually come to Christ, but he had been growing in his faith. He was a faithful member of the church that he attended there, the Ventura Missionary Church in Santa Paula, California. In fact, Steve said to Pastor DeWitt that he'd like to be an usher Imagine being in a church.
Can you believe that?
Steve McQueen is an usher. And a lot of the times I think people think that the story of McQueen is he found out he had cancer. You know, he got religion at the end of his life and died. Well, that's actually not true. The reality is when Steve was at the top of his game, when he was the number one movie star in the world, he was so disillusioned with all that Hollywood offered, it sent him on a search. And he didn't find the answer he was looking for on a soundstage in Hollywood. He found it in the balcony of a church in Santa Paula, California. And that is where Steve committed his life to Christ. And he was growing in his faith. He was reading his Bible. He was meeting with the pastor once a week for an hour Bible study. But then about 6 months later, Steve wasn't feeling well on the set of one of his films. And after some extensive medical tests were done, he found out that he had cancer, mesothelioma, and it was in the advanced stages. But even with that, Steve had great faith through this ordeal, and he did die, sadly, but he's in heaven now. But he died with great faith in Christ. And so I wrote a book about it called Steve McQueen, The Salvation of an American Icon. And then we did a film. And in the process of doing the research for the film, we unearthed actual audio recordings of Steve only a couple of weeks before he died, talking about his faith in Jesus Christ. So people can see that film or order that book. You can get it at Amazon and other places, but it tells the whole story.
You know, he has a reputation for having been a tough guy, a cool guy. You wouldn't look at him and think, oh, there's a committed Christian. And I didn't know it till you told me. That was just the difference between his screen and acting persona and what was going on in his heart.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting thing, Dr. Dobson. I think with Steve, you know, what is cool? It's hard to define, but we kind of know it when we see it. Certain people are defined as cool. And they called Steve the King of Cool. And really what it was when McQueen appeared in his scene, there was sort of a detachment that he had. And I think a lot of that was due to his very difficult childhood. And this is what I discovered when I began to research his life. We had almost identical childhoods. For starters.
That's what I thought you were going to say drew you to him.
Yeah, that's what drew me to his story. We both had beautiful blonde mothers. His mother was named Julian. My mother's name was Charlene. Both of us had mothers who were married and divorced many times. They were both alcoholics. Both of us never knew our biological father. Both of us in our adulthood went searching for our biological father. I found mine. Steve did not find his. Both of us ended up in reform-type schools. Steve was sent to the Chino Boys Ranch in California. I was sent to the Southern California Military Academy. And so, you know, when you grow up without a father, and really, in effect, you grow up without a mother, as Steve and I did, it affects you. And so Steve developed this persona, this detachment, this coolness. But in reality, he was a very damaged human being. And so when he hit Hollywood and started to have some success, he went hog wild. You know, he was using all the drugs, drinking all the booze, you know, chasing after all the ladies. He had an extensive motorcycle collection, car collection. He had it all, but he was empty and he was miserable.
You're a car guy, too. So you had that in common. And you love motorcycles.
Yeah, I do. Not to the extent of McQueen, but I loved, you know, it's funny, McQueen rode dirt bikes in the 70s. I did as well. McQueen loved Indian motorcycles. I love those too. And of course, you know, I didn't have a car. I have one car in my collection, my Mustang, but he had many and many motorcycles. And actually, he was very adept at taking things apart and putting things back together. He was a very mechanical kind of a guy. I'm the very opposite of a mechanical kind of guy. But, you know, I always sort of admired him. And I think as I got to know him a little better, you know, I interviewed his wife extensively, his widow, Barbara McQueen, talked to people that knew him. I felt like I developed a friendship with him, though we never met, because I knew so much about his life. And, you know, one of the things that Steve said after he found out he had cancer, and he was a Christian at this point, to Dr. DeWitt, Pastor DeWitt, he said, you know, my only regret is I was not able to tell people about what Christ had done for me. So, Dr. Dobson, I thought, I'm going to right that wrong for Steve. I'm going to tell people what Christ did for him. So we made this film, and I wrote this book, and people can get their own copy. If you go to iTunes, you can download it and watch it, or you can rent it. You can also rent it over at Amazon Video. Huh. And of course, you can order the DVD or order the book or order both if you like. But it's a fascinating story, and I think with Father's Day approaching, it could be a really interesting gift to a dad.
You know, Greg, when you found the Lord, I don't know how quickly, but you turned to ministry to try to tell other people about Christ. Yes. The same thing was true of Pete Maravich, who was an icon in his own right. He was a bad guy, too. When he was in college, he was a womanizer, and he drank a lot, and he really, a lot of people didn't like him, even though he was one of the best basketball players of all times. Yeah. But when he came to the Lord out of sheer desperation, that's all he could talk about. I mean, to the end of his life, 5 years later, you get into any conversation with him, it was like Franklin Graham. Every conversation went to the cross. Mm-hmm. And so you apparently followed that path too. But did Steve ever do that? Did he ever reveal his love for Christ? Did he ever try to evangelize others?
Yes, he did, as a matter of fact. In fact, right after he came to faith, he immediately was bringing members of his family to church with him. And the pastor told me that Steve would sit on the balcony because he didn't want to distract people. But he had his whole family. He would bring people that he knew, his friends. So he was out there grabbing people. And he was actually thinking about how he could use his influence, because obviously he knew that, you know, who he was. He was the number one movie star in the world. But cancer came, and that sort of was a detour. And so it sort of felt like it was a story that was not completely told. And he wanted to tell it, but he wasn't able to. So I kind of picked the ball up and tried to finish it for him. And now, you know, a lot more people know about the conversion of Steve McQueen.
How did he deal with his cancer? Did he blame God for it at the end?
No, not that I could ever see. And I talked to his wife, his widow extensively, and others. No, Steve took it in stride. He took it in faith. He knew where he was going. He wanted to fight it, but there was not a lot of hope for him medically. But one interesting story is he on his wish list was a desire to meet Billy Graham. And so as he was on his way down to Mexico, Juarez, Mexico, for a surgery to remove the cancer, because no surgeons would do it here in America, he asked Leonard DeWitt, his pastor, if Billy could come see him. And actually, Billy made time in his very busy schedule and came to visit Steve, and actually came to the plane that Steve had chartered on the runway there. And they had a long conversation, and Steve talked to Billy, and Billy gave him great comfort and prayed for him. And then Steve realized he had forgotten his Bible at home. And Billy said, "Here, take mine." And he inscribed it to Steve, "To my good friend Steve McQueen, may God bless and keep you." And Steve treasured that Bible, Dr. Dobson, and he went down to the clinic there in Juarez, Mexico, and the surgery took hours. It was successful. They got all the cancer out, but in recovery, sadly, he died. And they went in that little room where Steve was all alone, and they pulled the sheet back, and he was hanging onto that Bible that Billy Graham gave him. And I've held that Bible in my hands. In fact, I preached from it at one of our crusades. And, you know, to think of the history of that Bible. But, you know, when life is coming to an end, cool cars and drugs and houses and fame mean nothing. But the Word of God, well, it means everything. So Steve really knew what mattered toward the end of his life. And he died in faith. And the last thing he said to Billy Graham was, "I'll see you in heaven." And you know what, Dr. Dobson? They're both in heaven
together. Did I understand you to say that Billy Graham came to meet with Steve McQueen? Or did Steve go to meet with Billy Graham?
Billy went to where Steve was, and they met. They actually met two times. But the story I just described was the last time they were together, and actually the pilot of that plane. I was telling this story that I'd heard, And the pilot came up to me afterwards, and this guy's been attending our church for years. He says, I've never told you, I was the pilot on that plane. Oh. And he was a young man at the time that he would fly private planes. Now he's a pilot for Alaska Air. So he told me the story with much more detail in it. So, it really happened. And Billy went to meet with Steve. And then Billy afterwards talked about how real he felt McQueen's faith was. But at this point, Steve was in the final stages of cancer as well.
Greg, there are many, many young people who are about as lost as the two of you were at one time that are out there. Some of them might be listening to us. Not many, I don't think, but there could be some. Sure. But the people who are listening to us know individuals like this. Yeah. What would you say to them if you had a chance to sit down with these druggies, these kids that were sleeping around and doing all the kind of things that get you in trouble? Because they have a lot to be angry about. They don't have fathers, most of them. Yeah. And many of their mothers they have not treated them well. What do you have to say to the people who say, hey, come on, man, life's given me a short shrift here, so I don't know if I really believe in your God or not. What would you say to them?
I would say I understand the way they feel. I was that way. As I said, my mom was married and divorced 7 times. I got into drugs. I got into all those things you've just described. But really, why would you blame God? God is the one that has what you need right now. What I discovered, Dr. Dobson, was God was the father I never had, my father in heaven. You know, David, the king of Israel, was not really favored much by his father. When the prophet showed up in his town to anoint the king, his father didn't even acknowledge he had a son named David. He brought all of his other sons out. Reluctantly, he finally admitted there was one more son, and David came in, and he was the one that God had chosen. And David later wrote in the Psalms, "While my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up." So listen, God can be the father you never had. The Lord will fill that void, that hole in your heart you're trying to fill with drugs and alcohol. You were designed to know God, and everything this world offers is a cheap substitute. It's never going to satisfy you. Jesus said, speaking of all these things, he says, if you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I give, you'll never thirst again. In fact, that's what I'm going to be talking about at AT&T Stadium on June 10th at a big event we're doing called Harvest America. That is not only there for the folks there in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but it's a nationwide event that people can watch at home or in their church sanctuary or in a theater, wherever they want to do. Watch it because they can download a dedicated HD video signal. But, you know, I'm passionate about this message because Christ is the only hope for our country. And Christ is the only hope for the individual.
I'd like you to take us back to that AT&T event. It's in actually, some people call it Cowboys Stadium.
Yeah.
You and I talked about it a little bit when you were on the radio with me last time. But
yes.
I think it bears repeating because that was an absolute phenomenon. I mean, you had, as I think I remember, about 80,000 people in the stadium.
Right.
It was full, and there were tens of thousands more outside who couldn't get in. You know, what in the world's going on with you, man?
Well, I'll tell you what, that was just a lot of prayers and a lot of work, I'll be honest. You know, we prayed a lot, we worked a lot, we planned a lot, we did everything we could. But ultimately, when something like that happens, all you can say is, Lord, thank you. You know, we filled the stadium. It seats 85,000. They actually had to close the doors. They told us there at AT&T Stadium that's the first time they've ever closed the doors. Then another 250,000 people were watching at what we call host sites around the United States. Churches large and small, theaters, as I said, people just watching at home. So when it was all said and done, 350,000 people watch this event live across America, and it was deemed as the single largest one-day live evangelistic event in American history. And we also were able to track. Now, many more may have responded, but we know of 25,000 people that made a profession of faith to follow Christ. And so We're doing this again on June 10th of this year. And all the information you need is just harvestamerica.com. You go to that website, you'll find out how to be a part of it, how to be a host site, how to download graphics for your social media pages and get the word out with us. But I need a lot of prayer. So I'm hoping that all my Christian friends out there listening will remember us in prayer. And if they can, try to come and join us and bring someone with you that does not yet know the Lord.
Are you gearing up for yet another huge event that will be carried across the country?
Yeah, this event, June 10th, is going to be nationwide. And so you can watch it by just going to our website. But it's sort of a special signal that you download or that you connect to. It's better than the normal signal you would get on your computer or whatever. So you can participate in this event live. And we've had churches as large as 5,000 people participating, and then a church of maybe 50 people, and then someone in their front room and wherever they are. It's sort of like the Super Bowl of evangelism. You know, on Super Bowl Sunday, a lot of us watch that game and maybe have a party before or after. That's Harvest America. You know, you can be a part of the event simultaneously as it's happening wherever you are and invite people over to your home. It's almost as though I came to your house and shared the gospel with your neighbors or spoke at your church. And I'll tell you, you know, the God's word doesn't return void. And it's amazing how people respond, even when they're watching on a computer or on a phone or on a screen or a TV or in a church building, wherever it is. People respond because God honors his word. And I'm going to be proclaiming the gospel in a clear and understandable way.
I don't know if you will agree with this characterization, but Billy Graham preached essentially the same message for about 60 years.
I mean, he did.
There were no outstanding stories that would manipulate people.
No.
He just got up there and preached the gospel.
Yes.
Is that not also true of you, Greg? I mean, well, how do you, I mean, there are a lot of pastors who are preaching the gospel. What is different in your case?
Well, I would say you've touched on a very important point. You know, there's a method to the madness, if you will. I once saw Billy Graham being interviewed, and he said he studied to be simple. I think what a lot of pastors do, not intentionally, but they overcomplicate the gospel, or they use words and verbiage that non-believers don't understand. You know, when you say to a non-believer, you need to repent and come to Christ and be washed in the blood, I mean, that sounds good to us, but you got to break that down in an understandable way to a non-believer. They don't know what it means to repent, and they don't know what it means to be washed in blood. Whose blood, you know? So we have to define our terms. I'm not suggesting we not use biblical imagery and biblical verbiage. I'm just saying don't assume your listener understands it. And, you know, I just give a very straightforward gospel message, and I'll be very honest. I learned everything I know about evangelism from Billy Graham. He was really there to help me in many ways. And Dr. Dobson, you knew Billy Graham. You spent time with him, and he was a wonderful man and a great example. And I remember once his longtime friend T.W. Wilson, who spent a lot of time with him, was with Billy, and Billy said, "I don't know what I'm going to preach on tonight at the crusade." And T.W. said, "Well, Billy, you only have one message. Just preach that." And that's really true. He had one message when it was all said and done.
And that's enough, isn't it?
It is.
That's why the gospel is called the good news.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Greg, for being the man that you are. You really didn't get a fair shake in your younger years. But when you came face to face with Jesus Christ, you devoted your life to him and you never looked back. Thanks, Greg, for being with us.
Thank you.
And may the Lord continue to bless your ministry and his service.
Thank you.
And before we go, I have some good news to share. We're going to be offering 10 copies of the Steve McQueen movie and books. And if you'd like to be considered to be one of them, go to our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. And let me remind our listeners that Greg Laurie and his Harvest Crusade are going to be at the AT&T Stadium in Dallas, Texas, on June the 10th, 6 days from now. and that's also called Cowboys Stadium. If you'd like to be in that service 6 days from now, June 10th, do plan to be there, but you better come early. Thanks, everyone, for being with us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, Dr. Tim Clinton for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Hey, right now, grab your cell phone, go to your app store, and click on the Dr. James Dobson Family Talk app. Download it right now, and you can start listening anywhere at any time. 24/7, 365.